Well, I'm Mary Mullen, and I'm reading a story called Checking Out the Personals. Somewhere between age 37 and 60, I was between lesbian partners, and regardless of past experience, thinking I would try dating. This was the first time I would be using the Isthmus Personals. It was before the era of online dating services, so brief personals was what you got or gave. Preview. Of all the dates I recalled, only one resulted in an ongoing friendship. Most of the rest never clicked enough even for a second meeting. One date rated just as bad as another. I'll give each one of them a name. One, Judgette. One woman, a nurse by profession, rejected me outright, practically on sight. She herself was trim, nice enough seeming, but she felt I lacked actualization. I wasn't actualized enough. That's what the term she actually used. Well, after that, I didn't want to see her again either. I don't know how she tagged me that. I was there in person as much flesh and blood as she. Number two, Checker Girl. Checker Girl, on our first and only date, divulged that prior to our meeting, she had secretly spied on me by coming to my church the previous Sunday. Clearly, I had passed her test because here we were on the date. But the way she confessed made me feel like she had initially suspected my character in spite of knowing that I was a longtime member of a liberal church. I don't like sneaks. Number three, I met Ms. Suspicious at a spacious restaurant on the east side. She was kind of gangly and a bit nervous. As we sat at a table, occasionally I glanced away at the other patrons, as normally I do. I like to know my surroundings, and eye to eye with a stranger or even a friend, occasionally I need a break. This did not set well with her. "What are you looking at?" she demanded. Well, nothing in particular. What was she thinking? That I might be a criminal looking to run if necessary? That a previous lover or husband might be lurking with a gun? I never asked. I wasn't interested in someone who might be paranoid or would demand 100% eye contact every second of a meal. Too intense for me. Number four, Tree. This woman in her letter answering my initial response said her name was Tree. Sure, various people I know have given themselves names of nature. I know a woman whose self-moniker is Rain. Another who calls herself Earthworm. So Tree by itself was no reason to be scared off. Tree and I met in a park. Imagine the Indian Mound on Mound Street near the zoo. Her face seemed familiar, possibly someone I met at a lesbian event. Our time together was uncomfortable. Neither of us asked for a repeat. Later, I learned that Tree was a made-up name to guarantee I couldn't trace her. Did I want to be involved with someone as cautious as this? Someone who wouldn't divulge her own real name while already knowing mine? Nope. Number five. A similar kind of paranoia emanated from another one-time date. Giving her all the benefit of the doubt, I'll call her Supermom. I don't necessarily need to know a woman's last name in advance, but I do expect to be able to share last names on an in-person date. She had a good reason, she said, to keep her name from me, because I have a son in politics, and if it got out that his mother was a lesbian, he wouldn't have a chance at a career. Whoa, I wondered if this woman was even out to herself. Could she ever self-actualize? If her son's career was so important, she would forever have to appear heterosexual? Could a woman partner ever compete with her all-important adult son? Could she only visit me after dark in a car with tinted windows? This date was all in a car, by the way. Definitely, she wasn't the person for me. Number six is what I'll call the last date in this catalog. Turned out that this woman had put two different personals in the Isthmus at the same time, and I had responded to both. Did this suggest I was serious or that she was impressed? I felt a little silly learning that I had written her two letters, thinking she was two different people. As we walked down State Street, she pointed to a clothing store display and dropped the information that she purchased Italian custom-made slacks there. It was important to her to have a perfect fit. Uh-oh, probably I would never match up to her specifications. And to be honest, I wasn't all that impressed with her appearance, as to my eye, was she was a little dumpy even in her fancy pants. As with all these others, we parted without a request from either of us to meet again. But I didn't give up. In this last case, I believe I was the one who put out the ad, noting that I tended to favor artist types. Without going into much detail, I'll mention that this dear soul was an artist, and it turned out had grown up Unitarian. Besides, she lived in a hippie-built house out in the Driftless area of Wisconsin, which was my own natal territory. At our first meeting, one of those things we did was wander down to a creek that emptied into the Mississippi River, where numerous crawfish built their little mud chimneys in the muck. There, in southwestern Wisconsin, I found not a lover, but a friend that I have unto this day. Thanks, dismiss.